All right, welcome back into the Lake Show on this Thursday evening. News Talk 830 WCCO. Full show tonight because the Twins, they got their recent L out of the way earlier today. We'll get the Twins here a little bit later. I'm joking. I'm having a little bit of fun. But I actually want to start the show with some fun, and I need some insight and perspective and opinions from you guys, okay? Because that was, as I was driving into downtown Minneapolis tonight, I didn't realize that AC/DC had a concert. I called Chris, and I'm like, why is there so much traffic in downtown Minneapolis? And I was literally like on Washington, making a right, and I'm turning to try to get to the station. He said, oh, AC/DC concert, U.S. Bank Stadium. I'm like, okay, that makes all the sense in the world. So now I know why there's so many people in downtown Minneapolis. But this is the question, and this is where I need your help on the text line and also with some phone calls. AC/DC has made over 20 albums, okay? And this is not including, like, the greatest hits and all that, but, like, they have a lengthy catalog.
Not like the box sets or anything like
okay?
that.
Okay? They have a lengthy catalog. They're iconic, okay? And their last album was in 2020, I believe. But this is the question. What are reasonable expectations on the set list, length of a show for iconic music groups like an AC/DC? Because I've asked Susie Jones, and she didn't give me any real clarity on time. I think that she said maybe like 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours. Jason DeRusha said hour and a half, which is, to me, that's just that's way too short of a concert. Taylor Rivera said, I think she said like 2 hours at least.
Yeah, she said two.
I say 3 hours. I think a minimum of three. It's AC/DC. They've got an extensive catalog. How would you not do a three-hour show? And I know that they're not spring shake. I get all of that. But still, especially with the prices that people are paying nowadays for concerts and Ticketmaster and fees.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think? 651-461-9226. The WCCO radio talk and text line. 651-461-9226. The number that I am sitting with is 3 hours. I'm going to tell you why I say 3 hours. Because the last concert that I went to was Usher at Target Center. Usher doesn't have, he's got an extensive catalog, right? But he hasn't been around as long as AC/DC.
They've been around since the Stone Age.
He did 3 hours by himself. 3 hours! And I'm talking about he performed, like, and I get it, he's a true performer. This guy's like, he's on roller skates, part of the show, and he's got the dancers. He's got it all going on. 3 hours. Usher, it was phenomenal. If I could go and watch that show again for the price that I paid, actually I paid even more knowing how good the show was.
Okay.
But AC/DC, how long?
I think you're looking at maybe 3 to 3:15 is what I'm thinking. But to me, it all kind of depends on, number one, yeah, when was their last album? Number two, do you have an opener? Do you have, you know, how many acts do you have that go on before that? Because if you've got, you know, one act that goes on, you know, say, you know, an hour before, then you're not expecting them to play long, and then you're going to get to your, you know, your main attraction. So if I'm looking at AC/DC and that show and they hit the stage by 8, I expect them to play to probably about a little after 11.
Okay.
I mean, AC/DC has been around so long. I went to them when I was in college dating my college girlfriend, who was my first wife. That tells you how long they've been around. I mean, it was a great concert. But, man, it's just,
I mean, the Google, if you do a Google search, they've been around since 1973.
Well,
that was the year I was born.
They've been, they're going over 50 years together, which is incredible. But I think the problem with some of these bands, when you've got such an extensive catalog, is I wonder, as you go along, and this kind of goes into maybe the length of it here, and I don't know, maybe you guys feel the same way. I feel like as your bandmates change and you know, things, mm-hmm. you know, ebb and flow, do you take certain songs out? Or do you make sure that you hit certain ones? Because there are some that, you know, maybe only certain lead singers can hit. Or others where it's like, you know, you don't want to play it for certain reasons. So I don't know. Maybe that might play into it when you've been around so long.
All right, so we got some good text here. I'd love to get a phone call or two as well. 651-461-9226. The first texter from the 952, they say 2.5 to 3 hours, okay? The second texter from the 320, they say, clearly you hate AC/DC as you are trying to kill them.
You're
with
so
three-hour concerts.
Yes.
But I think that the best text at this particular point is from the 651. And this is what they say, and I totally agree with this. They say concert length, 2 hours, no breaks, which I actually think it should go a little bit more. They say 3 hours with one break. The reason why I totally agree with that texter is because that texter is taking into account older groups. Older groups need breaks, in my opinion.
Yes.
Do I think that AC/DC should be held to the standard of they're just supposed to get out there and do their thing for 3 hours and not have any breaks whatsoever?
No.
No, I don't anticipate that. Heck, I saw New Edition in Vegas, what was it, 3 years ago now? And granted, they weren't they were the headliner. It was also Charlie Wilson. It was also Jodeci. The situation, though, was where it was different for New Edition was this, and this is what was sweet about going to watch them perform, was because New Edition, you know the way they broke it up?
Yeah.
They did New Edition, then they had Bobby Brown doing his stuff.
Yeah.
Then they had Belle Biv DeVoe doing their stuff. Then they had Johnny Gill doing his thing.
So you just kind of intertwine
yes.
everything.
So Bobby would go and he would do his, you know, costume change or whatever. And then he'd go out and do like 3 or 4 songs. Then they come back and Johnny Gill's doing like 2 or 3. So I guess when I'm looking at the AC/DC, and yes, yeah. we get it. It's an older group, right? And we know there's an older crowd. But I'm telling you this right now. Because I called Chris and I was like, man, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a parking spot. And luckily we got parking spots. But there were so many people in downtown Minneapolis and a ton of, you know, I mean, it's our age and older crowd.
Gen Xers and boomers.
Yes.
Let's go.
But the bottom line is that texter, I think they get it. Especially with an older group. I think that you give them, they go 3 hours, mm-hmm. but you have to factor in a break.
First of all, what do you consider a break? Is that like a drum solo? Is that like a guitarist? I mean, because obviously you've got your lead singer, whoever it is going to have to take a break. But even with like your solo acts, like, is that where, you know, because you have that kind of that instrumental where, you know, they go and they, you know, regroup and then come back?
Yeah, I think that it's like an instrumental type of situation for about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
You can't have it be too long because you don't want people checking out. You don't want people getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And it's different with, and just to be clear, mm-hmm. it's been a while since I've seen like a rock act, because the last, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 concerts that I've been to, and this is since the pandemic and before the pandemic, okay? Because, you know, there were no concerts during the pandemic. But leading up to that, and then after that, I've seen R&B groups and also hip-hop artists, right?
Okay.
But what do they have there? They have DJs.
Yes.
So, like, for instance,
somebody that can fill some time.
When Kendrick Lamar and SZA do the grand tour,
yep.
That started, I think it starts next week. I'm actually going to be at the concert next week at US Bank Stadium.
Because it starts here, right?
Yeah, it's going to be one of the biggest tours this year for 2025.
I believe it.
They're bringing DJ Mustard.
Okay.
So that's a different dynamic
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
But love to get your reaction, 651-461-9226. We'll get to more of your texts, love a phone call or two, and we'll do that next show on the Lake Show. Oh, the text line is definitely weighing in. 651-461-9226.
Having a good time tonight, text line. I love it.
They are having a really good time.
They're all liquored up waiting for Mark Johnson and AC/DC.
Multiple different people are saying that Bruce Springsteen recently did 3 hours. So props to Bruce. From the 612, three-ish hours with breaks, like the Stones, Springsteen, Billy Joel. This one, the 320, seriously, they are older than Jeff from Sauk Rapids.
Whoa.
Wow, you taking shots at my guy,
Why
Jeff?
Why are you doing that?
Why hold on, text line. Jeff from Sauk Rapids is off limit. Y'all got to chill out, man. Y'all got to chill out. But I do want to say this about the person that said that I'm trying to kill him off.
Damn.
All right, so I got to admit, I knew that they were getting up there in age.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they were as old as they are. I got to be honest with you. When I see 77, I'm like, okay.
But some of these, if people are still going to go see them, then they're going to keep touring.
And everybody's different, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, with this, it's kind of a nostalgia trip. Like, even if you've seen them, multiple times, you're going to keep going back because it keeps bringing you back to a good time.
And let me say this, too. I will be the person that will openly admit I've never been to an AC/DC show, and I don't know, like, the current state of how guys are health-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, because it's not just about your age, but it's actually about your physical condition and what you're in. You know who I saw a few years ago? And he was in amazing shape, and he's 73 right now? Sting.
Okay.
Sting was in amazing shape. He's in amazing shape.
I think Barry Manilow just played recently, too, and he was really good. I mean, I saw William Martin Joel for, like, the eighth time with Stevie Nicks just last year. Fantastic. I mean, there are some, these older bands that have been around and have done it, I will say, I think it's a little bit easier for them to maybe put it on cruise control and kind of, play the hits because they've done it so long and they know exactly what they need to do.
The 320, they're going to have to chill out on my guy, Jeff from Sauk Rapids. Oh, well, hold on. By the way, Jeff from Sauk Rapids is on the line. Jeff, I'm protecting you. The text line, and I'm not making this up, they're literally texting in about you.
Me?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, from the 320. They say, seriously, they are older than Jeff from Sauk Rapids.
That's his area code, too, I think.
They must know you, Jeff.
They're older than me. There probably aren't very many. AC/DC was formed in 1973.
Yep.
And I'm a boomer. I graduated in 1970. AC/DC belongs to us, the boomers. They're our band. We're the one that got them going. I mean, we supported them all the way. Now, I'm glad they've had success ever since for how many years. But we were it, and they were directing their music toward us.
All right, let's say that everybody's entitled to like a little AC/DC. Let me ask you this, though, Jeff. All right, so you are at AC/DC tonight. You're not, because you're talking to us here on the Lake Show, but let's say that you are, that you got tickets, you're at the show. How long do they perform?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I almost regularly go to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra Christmas concert. It's 3 hours straight, no intermission.
Mm.
That's too much. That is way too much. As much as I love them, I'm going to say, you got to have an intermission. Now, depending on your venue, if you're at the X, for instance, you get out of your seat, go to the bathroom, go get another cocktail. That's a minimum of 30 minutes. So, what do you want to do? You want to hear an hour on either side of it, or an hour plus on either side? You can do that. But, we don't just leap out of our chairs, bust through the crowds.
Oh, yes, you do. Jeff and Sauk Rapids is jumping up out of his seat. You're ripping your shirt off, Jeff. You're like,
he's the guy that they have to call security on.
I know. They're like, security, security to 113.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can get into a lot of trouble by pushing and shoving in the men's room, so it's best not to do that.
Don't make eye contact either.
Oh man.
No. Well, at least not eye contact.
All right.
Anyway.
All right. Before we let me ask you this. Before we let you go, what was the last concert you went to, and how long was it?
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, that was the last one, the one that you just referenced and you mentioned.
Yeah, Christmas Before okay. Last. Christmas okay. Before Last.
Okay, I got you. Okay, I didn't know that was the actual last one. Okay, I got you.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the phone call from Jeff in Sauk Rapids. Chris.
Why can't Gen X claim, and I probably should ask Jeff when he was on the...
No, I said that to Jeff. I was like, Jeff, everybody can get into
AC/DC. Yeah, I mean, you know, Gen Xers, we grew up with AC/DC, especially in the late 80s, like the hair band, you know, the hard metal, hard rock that way. I mean, that's our jam.
What would you say is your favorite AC/DC track?
I would probably have to say Thunderstruck.
Okay, that one's good, but you played mm-hmm. mine, Back in Black.
Okay.
That's my favorite one.
Okay. I do like, for those about to rock, We Salute You. I do like that one. I do like that one.
Now, maybe I'm looking at stuff wrong,
mm-hmm.
but the tickets seem super reasonable.
How much are they?
I did a quick Google search before the show, and they looked pretty reasonable. I don't have it open now.
You know, here's kind of a thing, too, and I don't know if we'll see.
It looked like it was like $100 or even cheaper.
Oh, that's not bad. I assume for, you know, reserve seating. Here's my question. When it comes to these bands that have been doing it, and they've got these long set lists, I don't know if Metallica might have started something with back-to-back shows, but when you've got such an established set list, I would not be surprised to see more artists try and book the venues back-to-back nights
mm-hmm.
so you can do two shorter shows and hit all of them, whereas instead of trying to just like cram and just, you know, extend one particular set.
The theme and the trend now is the stadium shows. That's the theme.
Yeah, I understand.
That's
that.
The trend right now.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like after that, you know, everything's going to ebb and flow. Everything's going to have to evolve. And I just feel like Metallica did it right, because you're going to get a lot of those people back-to-back nights. As long as you're not giving them the same show, then I'm really surprised that more artists don't do that, especially when you've been around for, you know, 3 to 4 decades and are a Hall of Fame worthy act.
Yeah. All right. 651-461-9226. Coming up next, we'll talk to the president of the St. Paul Saints, Derek Scherer. He joins us next year on The Lake Show. All right. We are eagerly awaiting to chat with Derek Scherer, the president of the St. Paul Saints. Trying to track him down, but until we track...
You think he's at the concert tonight?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't think so. Well, I just got back from Kansas City. The Saints are at home right now. Aren't they hosting Omaha?
Yes, I believe.
The Storm Chasers? I think they're playing the Storm Chasers at CHS. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that that's the case. So maybe he's doing some stuff at the stadium because he has a lot of responsibility, a lot of things he's got going on. But until we talk to Derek, I got a question to ask you.
Yeah.
So
fire away.
I was in Kansas City mm-hmm. for this weekend, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And got back here just mm-hmm. hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me what the hell happened with the Timberwolves against Milwaukee? Like, how are you up 24 points and you lose? And you lose. And literally, I'm getting the... Because I thought it was a done deal. I'm at the K. I'm at Kauffman Stadium. And I'm watching the Twins. And I'm like, okay, let's try to get this dub. They lose. And then, of course, I think it's a wrap because the Wolves are up by so many points.
Yeah.
Then I get the text from Lavelle E. Neal, the columnist from the Minnesota Star Tribune, and he's like, oh, what a terrible night for Minnesota sports. And I'm like, what? Don't tell me the damn Timberwolves lost. And of course they did.
The words that come to mind are statistical improbability. Because you got a 24-point lead, and it's almost like once Milwaukee hit a couple of shots, you're like, well, all right, game's over. You're like, they had to work so hard to miss shots, and Milwaukee went hot.
But how do you go 8 minutes without a field goal?
I don't know. I don't know. And apparently, I know that they put all the pressure on tonight, because tonight with Memphis,
yeah.
if you want to...
You're playing for a lot.
Yeah. If you want to avoid the play-in tournament, then you absolutely have to win tonight. But you should not have... I mean, I guess maybe this is things evening out for the really goofy win over Oklahoma City earlier on in the year.
No.
And you're like, no, it doesn't?
No, it doesn't.
I'm just trying to figure out the...
You're making
the
excuses.
What?
Don't do that.
What? Apparently, they're not bothered. Like, yeah, it's just a loss. It's like...
Yeah, what's up with Ant when you... Bro.
I think he's trying to just blow it off and not get concerned. But, I mean, where's the little bit of sense of urgency here?
Yeah, and that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. To me, that sounds like, you know what, my direct deposit just hit. We're good here.
Yeah, and I understand you don't
want... And I'm not saying he doesn't care.
Yeah, and, I mean, I understand where you want to be calm. You don't want to get, you know, you don't want to show a sense of anxiety or worry. I understand that. But at what point do you say, man, we really crapped the bed? And you know what? We played awful. And we've got to come out and we got to play better. Because right now, things are not going the way that they should. Because it was an awful loss. It was, I mean, it was one of those that I went home and I was mad because of the Twins and the Wolves. And I try not to get mad.
Yeah. All right. 651-461-9226. I was complaining. Because I didn't see I saw highlights and stuff in Kansas City. I wasn't like I was watching everything that was going on with the Wolves. But I was paying a little bit of attention while I was at Kauffman Stadium, and I'm watching the Twins. But it was super frustrating. It was beyond frustrating to me with regards to that. But how do you blow a 24-point lead? 24-point lead.
You have to do really bad things defensively and do really, really bad things offensively. Like, it just had to be... Everything just like, I mean, they just, Milwaukee got to the rim. Milwaukee was hitting shots. Wolves went cold. It was just one of those weird anomalies where everything kind of came together in a bad way.
So is this CCO's own Jonathan Lowe? Is he going to make excuses for the Minnesota Timberwolves? I hope he's not going to do that.
Holla, holla. How you guys doing?
What's up, J-Lo?
So I was actually in a place where I was watching the game on Tuesday night and was talking with people and saw the 24-point lead. Timberwolves played one of the worst quarters of basketball I've seen them play since I've moved here.
Mm.
They were throwing the ball away, sloppy passes, sloppy angles to the basket. Apparently, I heard a little bit later on that Milwaukee went to a zone. And when they went to a zone in the fourth quarter, the Wolves just didn't know what to do. It completely flustered them. And you looked at their play, you looked at how they were trying to move the ball, how they were trying to get to open areas, and they couldn't do it. They threw terrible passes. It was just bad all around.
That sucks, dude. It really does. It sucks. And the text line says, look at Edwards' threes, that he was 2 of 11.
Yeah. They couldn't find a good rhythm in the fourth quarter, and Milwaukee found ways to get to the basket. Mm-hmm. They carved them up on the defensive side. And this was a huge, huge result, as you probably talked about, because now the Wolves, they can't get to the Lakers. They're now shut out of catching the Lakers, basically. And they're a couple games back of the Clippers, who are lightning hot, and of Memphis, who they play, not a couple back of Memphis, a couple back of Denver. So they're basically shut out of catching either Denver or of the Clippers. So now you've got to look at Memphis tonight and Golden State, which is in front of them. They got to win out. They have to win tonight. They have to win out, I think, if they are looking at the top six.
Ugh. It's so frustrating because you don't blow a 24-point lead. Also, you had a situation last night where it was late. I'm in my hotel room, and I see that the Spurs, Harrison Barnes, at the buzzer, beats Golden State. That helps your situation. But it doesn't matter if you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if because, again, a bunch of the other teams are going to play each other. After tonight, the Wolves get the fortune of playing Brooklyn and Utah, two teams that are out. So they have chances to make it up while the Clippers are playing Denver and Golden State. And all these teams are going to play each other. But now have you played yourself out of that possibility with yep. just that one inexplicable loss? And if it comes back to haunt them, yikes.
Yep. All right, thanks so much, J-Lo. Jonathan Lowe checking in. WCCO's own Jonathan Lowe checking in
with
his frustration.
And he's right because there's only a game and a half that separates the fourth seed in Denver. I mean, you've got Denver. The Clippers are both 48 and 32. Then you got the Grizzlies and the Warriors that are a half game behind. And then you got the Wolves that are a game behind that. So, I mean, you've got a game and a half between five different teams, but you see that, and it's just, you just feel like that's an opportunity missed. And then I go back to the loss against the Wizards early on this year, and just, it's frustrating for the Wolves to be in this spot.
All right, so hopefully we can still get a hold of Derek Shearer. He's supposed to join us here this segment. We'll try him here in this next commercial break. If not, there's a take, and I know some people are going to get ticked off about this, but I have a take on Anthony Edwards that I got to get off my chest. And I hope nobody with the Wolves gets upset because typically they don't. But I'm going to say it anyway. We'll do that next year on the Lake Show. All right, I got to get something off my chest about the Timberwolves, and it's specifically an Anthony Edwards take. And I am still the leader of the Anthony Edwards fan club. You guys know that. I talked about him extensively when he was at Georgia that year. I said, without a doubt, he is the number one overall pick. And people were debating, well, is it LaMelo? Is it him? Is it who was the other, the big kid, James Wiseman? I was like, it's Anthony Edwards. That's who goes one. And he's lived up. He's played even better than the draft position. He's looked every bit the part of a number one pick, a superstar player, which he is. But I'm not trying to tick off anybody with the Wolves. And I know a bunch of people in that organization. You guys kind of know my track record and history with the Wolves. Former intern, all this stuff. Some people may think this is controversial. So if you want to have at it with me on the text line, 651-461-9226. But I believe that Anthony Edwards needs to forget about right now in this moment, because I don't think that this team is winning an NBA championship. But I'm talking about next year, so this offseason into next year, he has to – man, these mics are really hot. He has to refocus. He has to refocus.
How so?
He's not focused. Anthony Edwards has got a million commercials, so he's getting attention from everybody. I don't want to go too deep into the off-the-court stuff because there's all these rumors about, you know, kids here, kids there, and all that. If the man wants to have a million kids, just take care of your kids. I got to do what you want to do. That's none of my damn business. But I think that there's a focus issue here. And I guess I would top it off by saying this. In my opinion, Anthony Edwards, the basketball player, is not a better basketball player at this point this year than he was a year ago. His game is the same. The only thing that's changed is that he's taking more threes. That's it. He's athletically gifted. He's supremely confident in his ability. Like, he's got all the gifts. He's got a nice handle. He can shoot it. He'll dunk on everybody. He can rebound. He can defend. but he's not better. Anthony Edwards is a basketball player, to me, is stuck in neutral. He's not a better basketball player right now this year than this time last year. Tell me I'm wrong.
Isn't part of the evolution of Anthony Edwards, you know, taking more threes, making more threes, and trying to like up that part of his game? Because we know that he's athletically gifted in terms of getting to the rim and being able to dunk. But if it's the long-range game that is the issue, then isn't that the part that he needs to work on?
No. Anthony Edwards, I don't care if he jacks up more threes and makes more threes, doesn't make him an improved basketball player. I don't care about his three-point percentage. I don't care if he goes from averaging 27 to 30 wins and not having what you had against Milwaukee. That's what matters. Michael Jordan, ain't no damn way Michael Jordan would have let the Bulls in their prime let slip away a 24-point lead. There's no chance of that happening. That just doesn't happen. So when we sit here and we talk about, man, we see some Michael Jordan in him, I don't want to hear that. I really don't. And look, like I said before, I raised my hand. I am a massive Anthony Edwards fan. He has to go to the next step. He has not progressed this year. And look, we know he's had a phenomenal year. Anthony Edwards is going to be All-NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be All-NBA.
Yeah.
But I don't get caught up into all the stats stuff. Because he's taking more threes, I'm supposed to get excited? No, I'm not.
Is part of this just based on what happened in Milwaukee and his reaction to it?
No. I've had this thought all day long.
Okay. Because I mean, if you're talking about being distracted, I'm going to say I don't blame him whatsoever for people coming to him with endorsements, people coming to him to be, you know, one of the main faces of the NBA, because Anthony Edwards has got to strike while the iron is hot. Because if the Wolves fall off a cliff and Anthony Edwards, you know, regresses in some way, shape, or form, he's going to get passed up by other individuals for those endorsements. So I think Anthony Edwards, you know, if we're talking about, you know, the Sprite commercials or, you know, Uncut Gems, whatever. If we're talking, what was the show that Adam Sandler, it wasn't Uncut Gems. God, I can't even remember.
I can't remember the name of it.
Because that was the one with Kevin Garnett. But I guess, you know, it's just like anything. Anthony Edwards, strike while the iron's hot. If he somehow is, you know, not focused by, you know, by your means, then, I mean, that's something that his camp
I'm not begrudging him getting endorsements and banking. But how many superstars get endorsements to the degree of an Anthony Edwards and regress? Last time I checked, Jason Tatum has gotten better.
But regression how? Is it that
the team's not better?
But are we talking the team not being better?
And he's not better. Like, he's the same player.
But why? I guess I just don't understand why you're upset at Anthony Edwards for the team not being better.
It's his team.
It's his team. But
he's got to take the next step.
Right, but he's not the one that made the cat deal. He's not the one that decided to change the personnel around
him. I get that, but he's the one that has to take the next step. That's just how it works in sports. He has to take the next step. Josh Allen loses Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen's the MVP. He takes the next step.
But with Anthony Edwards, can't we look at the numbers and him getting better in some part of his game and saying that is him getting better? I mean, at what point?
What about Anthony Edwards' game this year you think he's gotten better?
I mean, I guess if we're looking purely at the numbers, then you can say that his three-point shooting has gotten better. Now he
has defense gotten better?
I mean, well, the defense is also a, you know, how do you quantify?
We know when somebody's a good defender. Now.
Well, you know when they're.
We know that.
We know when they're a good defender, but at the same time, there are also other things that come into play when you're talking about a team defense.
I'm not going to hold back anything on any Minnesota athletes, and Anthony Edwards is in that group.
He has not
gotten better this year. That's just, in my opinion, I can't sit there and say it's fact, but he just hasn't. He hasn't. And he's got to rise to the occasion. He's got to do more with less, even with Cat moving on. Coming up next, toxic masculinity is damaging our country. We'll address it.